This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. Joining me in Santa Clarita, California, is our co-host, Bobby Jean Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. I've got moderate temperatures, beautiful blue sky. What have you got there in your neck of the woods?
You know, we're seeing sunshine today for the first time in 3 days. We'd had some of the rain that came in from the hurricane that hit the coast, but it is beautiful, going to be a beautiful next couple of days, and the temperatures are absolutely perfect in the 60s and no humidity, so I love that kind of weather. Beautiful.
It's
beautiful
great for all those trick-or-treaters that will be going out the next couple of days, too.
Yeah. So maybe my granddaughters will make it and be dry. So that'll be cool. And they got a new puppy. So they'll be taking their new puppy out for treating. Yeah. So everybody be safe out there. But anyway, we have a fun show. I am so stinking excited about the guests that we have on today. The first young lady that's joining us, I have been looking forward to having her on for about a year. And so she's here today, and then we've got an old friend that's joining us. But why don't you tell our audience who our guests are?
Sure. We're going to kick things off with Adrienne Brennan, also known as Buckaroo Girl. And then we'll be spending the second half of the show with Shannon Schraffnagel, that has a group called Horse Trails and Camping Across America. Huge Facebook following group.
All right. So this could be a lot of fun. I am now a Buckaroo Girl number one fan. And I think by the time we finish the show, there are going to be a whole lot of those out there. But anyway, going to be a lot of fun talking with Adrienne and with Shannon a little bit later in the show. We'll remind folks that the Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And, Bobby, the Christmas shop is now open. And so people want to do some Christmas shopping online, they can visit our website and do some shopping for Christmas. And it's not too early to get started, is it?
You know, it's never too early to get started because you want to spend the time thinking about the folks on your wish list, and then you need to spend, you know, have enough time to make sure that you got it ready to go and gift wrapped and so forth. So this is the perfect time to do it.
Yes. So visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Support our fine sponsors in the General Store and the Christmas shop. But right now, we want to invite you to grab your cup of coffee. Sit back and take a deep seat in the saddle, and when we return, we're going to be talking with Adrienne Brennan, the Buckaroo Girl. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Travel like a gypsy, pack like a princess, armed and in my diamonds and chains. I rode a bronc, I broke a heart. The desert and my wild ways keep us apart, but I'm gonna be fine, 'cause I'm a Buckaroo Barbie. Boys, you're gonna stare, gonna drive my truck like
Buckaroo Barbie from her Buckaroo Girl CD, and I'm telling you, you better take that deep sit in the saddle because this is going to be a fun show today. And, Bobby, it is that time that everybody looks forward to. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All righty.
Adrian, the Buckaroo Girl, is a force of nature. She's an exuberant, dynamic, talented singer-songwriter with an infectious, positive attitude and a powerful voice. Equally at home in the branding pen roping cows or on stage in front of thousands of fans, she takes her listeners deep into the lives and challenges faced by cowboys and ranchers through songs that reflect her experiences growing up on ranches throughout the West. At 23 years old, this cowgirl's resume packs some widely varied pursuits. Aside from a cowboy music career with three albums to her credit, it includes time spent living in Scotland and performing in Italy as a bronc rider, working cowgirl, operatic singer, college student, majoring in political science, and entertainer. Adrian's peppy, positive outlook on life permeates everything she puts her heart into, and her music is clearly atop that list. She refers to herself as an adrenaline junkie and a big reader with a love of history. Follow her, as I do, on Facebook to live vicariously through her personal videos, blog entries written from her heart, and her latest artistic drawings, and you'll get to know and love this dynamic, free spirit. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe our first guest, referred to by Western Horseman Magazine as Buckaroo's Taylor Swift, by known by those who love her as a Buckaroo Barbie, Adrian Buckaroo Girl.
You know, I feel kind of in the minority today. I've got three beautiful women that are on the show and at least two of you that are adrenaline junkies. So.
Oh, my goodness. That was the best intro I think I've ever heard. I'm all pumped up after that.
Well, you'll probably get to hear it again when you perform next month, Adrian. I'll probably introduce you with the same intro at the SCB TV concert.
I'm like ready to go. Like, let's go skydiving or something. Like, let's go do something. That was awesome.
Oh, wow.
How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great, and we're so happy to have you join us today. And, yeah, I've been following you on Facebook, and I mean, you're just you could be a model. You are a singer. You are a writer. You're a blogger. You're a hunter. You're a cowgirl for real. And how in the heck do you fit all of that into 23 years, a short time here on Earth? And how'd you get started with the love for the West and the horses and the music? Let's just start from the beginning.
Okay. So, well, first of all, thank you very much. I'm really happy to be here. My goodness, you guys just made my whole day. And the key to getting all the stuff done is no sleep and lots of coffee. I found caffeine is the answer to everything. it's funny. I'm always amazed at how many people are touched by the West and by, you know, the Western lifestyle and culture. And kind of for me, it's no different. My daddy was a cowboy and a saddle maker, among other things. And we've always had horses. It didn't matter if we were in Nevada on a ranch, if we were in Northern California on a ranch, or if we were in Scotland. My parents always made sure that we were involved with horses and cows. And my sister, who is my hero, my big sister Liz, she's one of the most amazing cowboys. I always say that she's the most amazing cowboy because she's just amazing. She has this way with horses, and she always just really inspired me so much. You run across those people in your life that make you want to do better and pursue something, and I would always look at her and go, man, I want to be that kind of cowboy or that kind of cowgirl. I want to be that kind of hand. So it's just kind of, horses have always been a part of our lifestyle.
Well, that is so cool. That is so cool. And you've lived in a lot of different places. I mean, you by the time that you were what, 5 or 6 years old, you were living where, in Scotland?
Yes, sir. I was 4 when we moved to Scotland, and let me tell you, they do things a little differently over there. It was a little different going from, you know, we were in the Big Springs Ranch in northeastern Nevada, east of Elko, and we went from, you know, big sagebrush country to some different kind of big sagebrush country in Scotland, and a lot of sheep. Which was very different, but it also, you know, it was just another experience that taught me to love history, and another experience that really inspired a love of a different kind of music. You know, they have such a wealth of incredible, incredible writing and music over there, and it really kind of made me discover different aspects of the musical world, and I still to this day annoy people because I listen to bagpipe music pretty much every morning. and I think a lot of people do that by choice, but that was one of the things. The musical influence over there was crazy. I absolutely loved it over there. It was, but very cold.
Yeah. Well, we had a guest on about a month or 2 months ago, I guess it was, Rusty Ryerson. Bobby, you remember, mm-hmm. he was on, and he was talking about performing, yeah. in Scotland, and I teased, mm-hmm. him about wearing a kilt, and he said, yeah, I got a picture of one. So we found that picture.
Oh.
And yeah, cowboy hat and kilt, you know.
Oh, so my gosh, I love it.
Pretty cute. You know, we're going to play a lot of your music today and have a lot of fun talking with you. But the first song that we want to do is the one that was on the Highway 80 CD. It's the Will James Days. And that's kind of an historical piece. Tell us a little bit about this one.
You know, the Will James Days, it's funny. I was such a baby I mean, not that I'm an old lady now at 23, but I was 14 when I wrote that song and recorded it. And it's always funny for me to hear it. I wrote it literally in 5 minutes. You know, like Bobby said, I'm a huge reader. I love history. American history is literally my biggest passion besides music, probably. And I grew up reading Will James' books, and I was so inspired by his descriptions. And I was starting, actually, I think I was 12 or 13, and I was starting one of my first colts by myself, and I was in the round pen, and I was just super frustrated. This mare and I did not get along, which, you know, we were both blonde, so that may have had something to do with it. But we just weren't getting along, and I decided, you know, I'm going to go get one of those Will James books and sit down here in the middle of the round pen and just kind of chill out and quit bugging her for a little while. And it was funny. I just sat there, and I read a couple chapters of Lone Cowboy, and she chilled out, and I chilled out, and we ended up getting along just fine. And then I was like, oh, man, I got a song idea. I Will James just helped me, and I can't even tell him thank you. He just helped me. And I wrote it in about 5 minutes in the branding pen. But, you know, I think the message of the song is just that, you know, I'm 23 in a world that is dominated by technology, and I truly, truly love the old ways and traditions and things like that. And I can, you know, immerse myself in tradition and culture as much as I can, but I still can never have that taste of what it was like to be there in the old days. And, it was just kind of a wish to be there in the old days in the song.
All right. Well, let's listen to the Will James Days, and we're going to come back and talk more with Adrian on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Don't go away.
The string riders were tough old birds, traveling from spread to spread. They were a different breed, dear Lord. I wish they were still around here. And I won't. Still on the same memory.
5 minutes. That's amazing.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm kind of stubborn. When I get an idea in my head, I just can't, I got to get it out on paper. I've got songs written down on napkins and placemats, and unfortunately, I wrote one on a shirt one time in Canada because I had nothing else to do it on. There are songs everywhere. If they come to you, you got to get them out.
Yeah, I've had several writers say, "Be careful what you say or do around me because it may end up in a song." So,
I warn every boy I've ever dated. I totally warn them of that.
Well, Adrian, tell me a little bit about the musicians that have influenced you. Whether it's the lyricists or the poets, or who inspires you.
I think it's really it's kind of funny because I grew up with such an eclectic surrounding of music because my parents, my dad introduced me to blues and southern rock, and my mom really kind of gave me the classical influence. I had a lot of different music going on all the time growing up, but the one thing that I really remember is when my dad had the saddle shop, he would play Ian Tyson, Tom Russell, Waddy Mitchell, Don Edwards, and Chris LeDoux, and that was kind of the staple in there. And so growing up, I Four Strong Winds, all those kind of classics by Ian and Sylvia and Waddy's poetry and how they would put passion and stories into their music, that was something that I heard from a really young age. So I'd have to say really those kind of Western singers were really the core of my inspiration. And they still are, Whenever I listen to any of Ian's music or Tom's music or any of Waddy's poetry or any of Don's songs, talking about the old days in Texas, it's funny. I am very inspired to write. So if I ever, have a writer's block or anything, I always kind of go back to those old standards. And later on, Dave Staby, when I discovered him, he was a huge inspiration for me. Outside of the cowboy sphere, I'm ashamed to probably say this to some cowboy followers who will probably go, oh my gosh, but Bob Dylan is probably one of my biggest influences as a songwriter. I discovered him when I was 8, and his passion for storytelling just, I was obsessed with it. I just loved how he would weave these intricate stories and these amazing tales and then be able to put music to them. And he is kind of to this day one of my main inspirations as a writer, definitely. He just blows me away.
That's great. Well, I mean, now when you're driving down the highway, who do you listen to today?
So today I will probably listen to, besides my news channels, I listen to a lot of news. I listen to a ton of big band music from the 40s and 50s. I am so just absolutely obsessed with vintage music. I listen to a lot of swing music, a lot of polka music on records. I listen to a lot of, I have a record player, and I love listening to everything on vinyl if I can. I also really like a lot of Celtic music, bluegrass music, and I'm kind of on a Dolly Parton kick right now, quite honestly. That woman just amazes me. She's incredible.
She is.
And so I get stuck on, you know, different artists, and I'll listen to them for like a month, and then I go on to the next one. I become obsessed with music.
Oh, wow. Well, I want to shift gears just a little bit, and so you were telling me the other day when we visited a little bit that you lived in an Indian lodge and wore moccasins. What's the deal?
Well, I guess this kind of had to come out at some point. Like I said, I'm obsessed with history, and more specifically with early American history. The fur trade era up until 1830 is probably my favorite era of history, and I just love learning about the American West and the trappers and the opening up of the West. And my dad was a trapper, and he was just very, very passionate about history. And when I was 8, we moved back to the States from Scotland, and I was kind of like, okay, well, this is great. We're in America now, so I guess I can live like an Indian if I want to. This is awesome. I started teaching myself how to brain tan hides the old way, and my mom taught me how to build moccasins. I learned how to quill and build parfletch and lived in a 14-foot lodge, and it was a lot of fun. I really, I did it for a long time, and I love kind of the rhythm of living outside like that, because you really become in sync with the light. You wake up when it becomes light. You go to bed when it's dark. There's none of this kind of artificial living. And I really loved that part of it. I also really liked being able to live so close to my horses, because they were always right there. So
right,
that was
right.
Really fun. a little different, but I loved it.
That is so cool. Well, we want to do another song, and this is one and I looked at several of your videos, and you did a great video where you were talking about your sister, and then did the song Hands. Tell us a little bit about your sister's influence on you.
My sister, Lizzie, is my hero and my best friend. She's amazing. She's also the strongest person I've ever met. She moved to Northern Nevada when she was 19 to go cowboy on her own, and I really always admired her for being able to do that as a single woman who wasn't, married and or dating someone to give her the ability to go work. She got there on her own, reputation as a cowboy, and I really admired that. And a few years into her working, she caught something called chronic Lyme disease and became very, very sick and had to move back home. And I realized that all the times I'd gone out and worked with her and she let me go get in her way, I had always looked at her hands and just been amazed that this woman that was so beautiful, that looked like this model, had these rough, callous, just, I mean, they're pretty scary looking hands. And, now it's almost 8 years later and she's healing and she's gotten back her life and her hands started to get soft, but they still amazed me, because it didn't matter if they were calloused from work or if they were you know, soft from trying to heal up from those health issues, they were still beautiful because they did good deeds. And, yeah, it was just kind of my tribute to her as a cowboy and as a beautiful person.
Well, it is a great song, so let's take a listen to Hands from the CD Buckaroo Girl. We're talking with Adrian on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
They're torn and cracked, weathered and worn, ripped and bruised and brown, and strong when they may not be beautiful, but they get the job done. And they can't turn a calf and rope a cow, set a trap, shoot a coyote, hold a rein, twist a wire. They work like a man, even though they look smart. You're kind of beautiful. Two silver rings and no diamond things, burns from cast iron and the brand and the fire. Painted up on a Saturday night can be pretty good by breaking up a fight. You're kind of beautiful. And they can't cut a calf and rope a cow, set a trap, shoot a coyote, hold a rein, twist a wire, do a patch for a baby boy. They look small, but they work like a man. You're kind of beautiful.
Such a unique voice and such beautiful words. Well, you were talking about the fur trade and how you
yes,
were kind of attracted to that. So I'm going to make an announcement. We have been putting on a benefit event for the last couple of years in the first week of June at the Circle E Guest Ranch between Nashville and Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we've not actually had a name for our festival, and so we have the name that we've decided on is The Rendezvous.
And
So you know what a rendezvous is.
I do, yes. Oh, that's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to be talking a lot about The Rendezvous. Music, Arts, and Crafts Festival that's going to be raising money for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation from now until the first week of June when that happens. But I just thought that was so cool because
that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of trail riding, a lot of arts and crafts, and of course the Extreme Cowboy National Championships part of our deal. And so a lot of music, a lot of fun. But anyway, enough about that. But I thought that was kind of cool because a lot of people, when you say rendezvous, they either think about the ribs in Memphis or they think about some kind of romantic get-together. And that's not really what that was. It was a gathering of fur traders to kind of exchange goods and a little revelry is what Wikipedia said. Yeah.
Or a lot of revelry.
Or a lot of revelry.
Mostly revelry.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Make all your money off your beaver pleas for 1 year and then spend it all on whiskey.
And then you've got to go right back to it, sort of like the cowboys on payday, right?
That's
right. Yes, ma'am, absolutely. I think there's a lot of similarities between the mountain men and the cowboys, quite honestly. Maybe that's why I like it.
It could be. But anyway, Bobby, you had an interesting question that you wanted to
ask. I did. I know that you will be performing in November at a very, very well-known, wonderful event, the Monterey Cowboy Poetry and Music Festival. And I think something quite historic happened there when you were 14. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Well, Monterey Cowboy Poetry Gathering, the festival was the first place I ever sang any of the songs I ever wrote. I had learned how to play three chords on the guitar 2 weeks prior to the event, and my sister was showing her rawhide horse gear at the gear show. And I told my family, hey, I'm going to sing on the open mic. And they went, hey, you're 13 years old. You're crazy. and I'm kind of stubborn. So I did it, and they were so lovely. My family is so supportive. They all helped me figure out some really just horrendous jokes to tell when I got up there to sing because I was so nervous. And I promptly forgot the punchline to both of them. But I got up there, and I sang these two songs, one of which was Highway 80, which ended up being the title track off my first album. And it was really quite funny. I was so nervous going into the festival because it was the first time I would, you know, sing with a guitar in front of people. My sister said, oh, Adrian, don't be freaked out. It's not like Dave Stamey's going to pull you out into the hallway and make you sing for him or anything. Well, guess what happened? it was just perfect. And so Dave ended up hearing me and literally pulled me into the hallway and made me sing a song for him. And I kind of realized, wow, I love this. This is really fun. And it was at that same event I had a couple approach me and said, hey, we're venture capitalists. We really love what you're doing. Have you thought about what you want to do with your life? And I was like, I'm 13. I don't know, like be a bullfighter. I don't know, something cool. Like I'm going to do something fun, but I have no idea. And they said, well, we'd really like to help you get started with a career. And they were the reason I was able to do my first album. And it was really an incredible trip because it was a whole experience of firsts there. It was really fun.
Wow, that is so cool. How many people would like to have somebody come up and tell them that?
Now looking back on it, it's just one of those things in my past that I just kind of go, wow, you know, that was amazing. And then sometimes I stop and think about it and go, dang, that was pretty incredible. That was pretty cool. you're not even in high school, and here's a job.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I'm 13. What do I want to do? Maybe live in a teepee. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think those experiences from your life are so important because, you know, we may have some listeners or folks that will hear this podcast that will say, wow, you know, I'm 16, I'm 14, I'm 20. Why, gosh, you know, every time I have an opportunity, I step back when really look what could happen if I would step forward. So
you're just a terrific
role model. Your stories are apropos for so many of us that keep fear from let fear keep us from our dreams.
Oh, you're just so kind, my good. Well, you know, every time I've done something that I've been scared to do, it's ended up being a good experience. And so I always figure if I'm scared to do it and it's not too insane, I might as well just do it. And usually something good comes of it. I think taking chances is a really good thing in life. You never know what'll happen.
Well, that is so true. Well, we're going to try to get in some more music, and here's another one that I really enjoyed, and it's called Spanish Ranch Cowboy. Can you tell us about this song?
Yes, sir, I certainly can. I think there's a whole crew of cowboys that were working at the span that think that this song is about them. Everybody to apply it to them. No, you know, I think I was 17 or 18 when I first had the idea for the song, and I was kind of at the age where it was like, ooh, you know, this whole love story thing might be kind of fun to write about. And I thought I'd gotten my heart broke, so I thought, well, I'll write a song about it. And it ended up just kind of coming out in this imaginary story of a cowgirl and a cowboy, and a girl who was just kind of talking to him and telling him that, you know, hey, this is my life now, and I miss you, but I got to do kind of what's best for me, and I got to live out loud and live my own adventure.
All right. Well, let's share this story, Spanish Ranch Cowboy. We're talking with Adrian, and you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe.
Back, thinking of you.
Spanish Ranch Cowboy, and that is from the CD Buckaroo Girl. And Adrian, you are just so much fun to have on the show.
And, you are so sweet.
Yeah, and if Bobby hasn't made you mad, we want you to come back and be with us again.
I am all for it. I would love it. We need some more time to talk. My goodness.
Yeah, we do. But anyway, just a super, super neat young lady, and we hope that our audience maybe has discovered you for the first time. I know they are going to want to get your music. And where can they do that?
They can do that on www.buckaroogirl.com. If they want to download it, they can always go to iTunes and search for Buckaroo Girl. It's available on CD Baby. It's also available through a few different Western retailers like Eclectic Horseman and Hitching Post Supply. Pretty much you just put Buckaroo Girl into Google and you're going to find my music.
All right. We love the music. And also you've got a great Facebook page. And you've got two of them, so you've got Adrian Brannon, but it's full. I've already tried to friend you over there, so you're full. There's no room for me. But
I have to go delete some people.
Yeah, get rid of somebody and then send me an invitation.
Okay.
But But you've got your great page, Adrian Buckaroo Girl, and so folks can go over there and like that page and follow you as well. And Bobby, you've got a treat coming to Santa Clarita. What's happening?
We do. Our final SCV TV presents the Out West Concert Series. Our final event for this year is Adrian Buckaroo Girl, November 19th in Newhall, California. And it's a wonderful, small, intimate theater. We anticipate that we will be bulging at the seams, but seats are still available. So you can find that page on Facebook or just give us a call at 661-255-7087, and we will take your reservation.
All right. So it's always cool when you can be the grand finale for an event. And so, man, how neat to wrap up their concert series this year. That's cool.
I know.
That
was exactly
so
our intention.
Yeah. Saving the best for last. Saving the best for last. Hey, Adrian, we're going to close out this segment with Buckaroo Girl. You want to tell us anything about this song?
Absolutely. Buckaroo Girl is just kind of the anthem for all the girls out there who chase their dreams, kind of pursue the crazy things that maybe people say that, you know, oh, man, a girl maybe shouldn't do that. And it's kind of an anthem for all the hardworking and determined girls that are big dreamers out there.
All right, so we're going to listen to Buckaroo Girl, and be sure and visit her website and visit her on Facebook and be sure and pick up her music and then follow her tour schedule. If you can get out and see her live, that would be the perfect way to do it. And Adrian, thanks so much for being with us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I just had a fantastic time. You guys are the best.
Well, love you. Love you. Talk with you soon. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with a young old friend, and that's Shannon Schreffnagel with Horse Trails and Camping Across America. So a lot more fun to come on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
It's 5 o'clock, got a tropical party, since my clothes are all humped up. My bones are cold, but I ain't old, just barely legal. Stewing's hard on a girl, but it's just in my kind of world. When the crew comes to town and takes me out, and you can't say.
Treffnagel, welcome to the Campfire Cafe.
Hey, glad to be back on.
Yeah, good to have you, and first time with Bobby.
Yeah.
We're going to have a lot of fun. This is going to be a great segment on the show today. And, you know, for some of our audience that are not aware of it, Horse Trails and Camp Across America was a regular feature for a long time, and then you got really busy, and it just didn't happen for a while. And so we're delighted to have you back to talk about HTCAA, but we want to talk about Shannon. And tell us a little bit about how you got started into horses, because that's an interesting story, as I recall, and then how the passion for trail riding came about.
Well, I have been in horses since I was pretty little. My parents, when they got married, they always had a desire to raise their kids around horses. My mom was a city girl from Madison, Wisconsin, and my dad was a farm boy from out in the western Wisconsin. But both had always had a desire to live out in the country and just have that lifestyle. So when I was about two, we moved across from a saddlebred stable that was right across the street, not knowing anything about the different breeds and different shows and all of that. Went over there and learned kind of the crazy firsthand, experiences we all know in the Tennessee world and, Tennessee walkers and all that. Totally different world than trail riding, big time.
Yeah.
So as we did that for a little while and realized that wasn't quite what my parents had in mind. So ended up going over to a pretty neat quarter horse stable, a really neat lady in Wisconsin. She's well known within the quarter horse circuit and has transformed a lot of people's lives and especially families, because she's just a neat old gal that just teaches the basics about loving horses, whether you're showing or trail riding. And so she really planted that in our lives. And ended up in the family, just kind of growing up that way, did some quarter horse shows, involved in 4-H. And then I met my husband. I met my husband when I was 12.
Oh,
so we
wow.
started dating when I was about 16, yeah. And he's 4 years older than me, but I was the only girl in the crowd that liked to go riding horses. And he had his own horses, and he had his own truck and trailer. I hate to say it, but I probably fell in love with the truck and trailer and his horses before I fell in love with him. So that sucked me in. And so on the weekends, we would just go out and enjoy the horses on the trails. And I realized I can actually be around a horse, not stressed out, not worried about what I'm wearing, not have to be up bright and early trying to get to a horse show on time, and I could just enjoy nature. And that's when that started. So the more I trail rode with him, the less I was showing. And then we got married when I was 20, headed out to Wyoming, and we rode in the Bighorn Mountains and the Black Hills and enjoyed a very cool life out west, riding out in the middle of nowhere. And that's kind of the foundation of history. So
That is so cool. That is so cool. Well, and so how long have you and Jason been married now?
We're going to be, let's see here, next year will be 12 years.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow, wow. Time flies when you're having fun and can include horses, too. So that's a pretty neat deal.
Absolutely.
Pretty
Absolutely.
Neat deal. Well, how did the trail riding translate into you starting this little page on Facebook called Horse Trails and Camping Across America?
Well, as I always tell everybody, it started out for completely selfish reasons. I just wanted to find more places to ride, and I really like seeing photos. You know, as we all know, when you get on the internet and you start looking for places to go, especially if you're going out of state, it's hard to get all the information that you really want. You know, you can go to a website and see maybe what, you know, that campground is telling you specifically about their campground. But you're not really getting a full idea if it's, you know, really is the best place to ride or not. And Jason and I always like to go, try to anyways, twice a year we want to get out of state and go ride somewhere. So I thought I'm going to create this page, try to get a hold of some other trail riders across the country and just maybe find some new places to ride and see their photos from the trails. And apparently I wasn't the only one looking for that information because we started in August of 2012. By 2013, we were up to 8,000. By 2014, we were up to 20,000. And right now, we just broke over 44,000 people. And
wow.
I'd like to clarify to some people, this isn't a group that's just click on a like and we're counting the likes. These are official people that we screen that request to come into the group that are officially horse people, and they really want to be, you know, living the trail riding life. So that's 44,000 true trail riders across the country. So, yeah, overwhelming, but pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Well, we're going to take a real quick break. And when we come back, I want to find out a couple of things. First of all, I want to find out who your trail riding partners are, or who your horses are. And I want to find out where some of your favorite places to ride are. And so we're gonna find out that when we come back. But right now we want to remind folks that Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors in the general store and in the Christmas shop. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle on our website in the general store and at the Christmas shop. And you can find them all at equestrianlegacy.net. And we're going to find out more about Shannon and her passion and where she likes to really get out and ride when we come back on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Every day, along about evening, when the sunlight's beginning to fail, I ride through the slumbering shadows along the Navajo Trail. When it's nighttime and the crickets are calling and the coyotes are making their wail, I dream by a smoldering fire along the Navajo Trail. I love to lie and
and listen to the music of the wind strumming a sagebrush guitar. While over yonder the moon is climbing, and it always finds me wishing on a star. Well, what do you know?
Well, what do you know?
It's morning already.
Morning already.
And there's the dawn shining so silver and pale. It's time to climb on back to my saddle and ride that old Navajo trail.
Shannon, I was thinking about you this morning when I did the song selection for this second segment. I could imagine you out on the Navajo Trail, but, you know, I know that it takes a lot of time to manage a Facebook page that has as many folks on there and to keep things on topic, and that you've got a great posse, and we'll talk about your posse in just a little bit that helps you do that. But where do you like to get away to and ride? Where are a couple of your favorite places to ride?
Oh, well, you know, we're awfully blessed living in this country because there are so many amazing places in just about every state that you can go into. So it's really hard to just narrow down, you know, exactly where the top favorite places would be. But for me, my absolute most favorite, not because it's got the best trails or whatever, but for some reason I just have the strongest desire to ride in the Bighorn Mountains of Wyoming. They are just it just is a completely different experience. You don't see anybody else out there. You know, you can ride for hours and never see another soul, and see the, you know, 13,000 foot peaks on one side and big beautiful valleys on the other, and elk and moose and everything else that go in between. And, you know, I've been blessed to be able to live near that a couple times in my life. And there's just nothing like getting out where no one else is around. And for me, that's just kind of my, since we're talking about Shannon, for me, that's where I feel absolutely closest to God, and just an amazing feeling that comes in with inside of me when I'm in those Bighorn Mountains. So can't really explain it, but it's definitely, if I could get lost up in those Bighorns, I'd be completely at home.
Don't do that. Don't get lost up there.
if I have connection to Facebook, right, I can?
That's right.
There you go.
That is right.
Yeah, but as far as favorite trails, I'd have to say the Big South Fork in Tennessee has been one of my favorite places to ride. Jason and I went there a couple years back, and we rode up from the southern end, and just really cool, as you know, Gary, just neat places that you can get back into, you know, the caves and the overlooks and the waterfalls, and that was just a really fun ride because there's so many neat destinations to get to along the trail.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised by how neat the Big South Fork was, because when you look at the map, you know, you don't see any big mountains around or anything, but when you get down in there, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
So for me, yeah, that's definitely a cool place. But my other home away from home would be the Smoky Mountains. Just love the Smokies, and it's such a cool place to ride, and endless miles of riding, as you guys know. And so I guess that'd be in my top three. If I really had to pick.
Yeah, well, my chest just puffed up because two of those, you know, within 2 to 3 hours out my back door, so I kind of like that.
Yeah, you are lucky.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, and it's also those two places, the Big South Fork and the Great Smokies, are within a day's drive of about 75% or 80% of the country's population.
Yeah.
So
yep.
They're pretty convenient to get to, and it's amazing to me how many people have moved from around the country to retire up to the Big South Fork, just so they can get out and ride every day. And that's a pretty cool thing. But now you and Jason don't have a living quarters trailer, do you?
Nope, we tent it. Wherever we go, we pull out a tent, and that's what we do.
This.
So, we just, you know, I'm sure one day we'll probably have a living quarters, but for the most part of our life where we've lived, the places we go, it'd be hard to get to with a living quarters trailer. You know, so the more compact trailer we can have and just the easier we can pack up and get up to a mountain, that's what we like doing. We love having fun trails to ride, but both of us do really enjoy getting out, you know, in the middle of nowhere and pitching a tent where nobody can find you. And that's what we enjoy doing the most. So the tent so far has worked for that. But when we do go down to, you know, organized trail rides and things, it would be handy to have a living quarters trailer. I don't know about that.
Well, at a certain age, you kind of like those conveniences, you know. But there is something really to be said about tent camping, because you can get back to places that you can't otherwise, and you're really connected. I mean, you really are connected to the outdoors when you're in a tent. Now, do you have a big air mattress that you take into the tent, or just sleeping bags?
You know, we used to do that, but as some people have probably found out, if you have a radical change in temperature, air mattresses kind of suck. So you're waking up in the middle of the night and, you know, your feet are above your head because your mattress is inflated and you're having to blow it up. So we just use cots. We have a really nice big tent that we got from Cabela's. I mean, if you're going to tent it, make sure it's a good tent. So we've got a nice big tent that feels like it's, you know, bigger than our master bedroom. So you can set it up, and we've got our cots in there, and our dogs, of course, come with us. So they've got their beds on the floor, and we've got a wood stove. And so we make it pretty cozy.
That's pretty neat. That is pretty neat. Now, who are your horse companions now?
We have Brandy and Wyatt and Cisco. And Brandy and Wyatt, my husband got when he was still in high school. So Brandy's going on 20, and Wyatt's going on 16. And I wasn't dating Jason at the time, but I was with him when he went and bought Wyatt. I was 14. And he was a cute little black baby. And the quietest, there was a big group of weanlings, and a big group of them, and he hid back in the corner, kind of tucked away. And Jason said he wanted to get that one, and the breeder came up and said, I'm going to hand you a picture to prove he was black as a baby, because he's going to turn gray when he gets older.
Right.
And
right.
It was hard to imagine because he was so black. And sure enough, he now looks just like General Lee's Traveler, who I was little. Yes, that was my favorite horse of all time. When I learned about General Lee's Horse Traveler, I was like, that's the horse I want. So funny that I was with my husband when he bought him, and now I have a beautiful gray horse with a black mane and tail sitting in my pasture.
That is too cool. That is too cool. Well, I had a gray stallion, and he produced nothing but gray colts. And when they were born, most of them were black, but occasionally we had one born bay, and we had one that was born chestnut, and one born palomino. And they all turn gray.
And
they all turn gray. And then the longer you have a gray horse, they eventually almost become white. And it's interesting. You know, some are fleet bitten a little bit, but they're cool,
Wyatt
cool horses.
Wyatt's through all the stages. Yeah.
He's
our horse in many colors, because he started out black, and then we have pictures of where he is a true bay. And then he went roan, and then he went dapple. And then 2 years ago, he got the flea bitten. And now he's definitely going more white, but luckily his mane and tail are staying fairly dark. So, but I'm sure one day I'll look out there and he'll just be all gray.
Well, I helped my youngest brother move his horses. He bought a new place and just moved his horses last week. And two of the grays I hadn't seen in a while, and one of the grays had stayed really, really gray for a long time with a coal black mane and tail. And I probably hadn't seen him in about a year, and his mane and tail were just snow white. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Fast. Yeah, but let's shift gears a little bit and talk about horse trails and camping across America. And you've really developed a community of people there. And a couple of years ago, you put on your first national trail ride. Tell us a little bit about your your first two events, and maybe spring some plans for next year on us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when we were, I think we were at about 4,000 people. That would have been in 2013. We had a campground come to us, and they said that they'd like to host our first official camp or our first official trail ride, which would be in the Big South Fork of Tennessee. And so we started planning it, and by the time the ride came, we had doubled up to 8,000. No, that wouldn't be correct. We doubled up to 20,000 by then.
You're kind of like Ben Carson now. Your math's not working. Well, that was more than double.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Definitely more than double. I can't keep my years straight. We grow so quick. It's hard for me to remember how fast we grow. So we had about 20,000 by the time the ride came around. So that ride booked up really fast. It was very fun, just neat. We had so many people come from all across the country. Amazing how far people traveled to get to Tennessee. I mean, we had California and Texas and along the East Coast and just about everybody in between. And so really cool, very first good ride. And so this year we planned a national ride again, and we held it out in the Black Hills of South Dakota. Same thing, started planning that last year. We were just at about 30,000. And then, of course, we come to the ride in June, and we were just flying through members. It's just you can't even keep up with it with how quick we grow. But we had about twice as many people come to that ride. And, again, people from New Jersey, people from Maryland, Florida, Texas, Oregon, just – for me, that was the overwhelming part, that people are that interested in HTCA that they're going to make this their, you know, their biggest ride of the year. And the ride this year was really cool. It just had a feeling of like a family reunion, even though many of us had never met face-to-face. By now that we've been running for almost 3 years, we had, a lot of people have known each other for quite some time on Facebook but never got to meet and ride together. So it was just cool. As you're walking through camp, you can just hear people going, hey, you know, I know that person over there. I recognize their horse. You know, I recognize the trailer from pictures on Facebook, you know.
Right, right.
And they meet up. And so everybody knew everybody, but nobody had met each other face-to-face yet. So it was a very, very cool experience. And that was, for me, that was the special takeaway of just getting to finally be with all those people in one place and enjoying what we love to do, but really getting to meet people. You know, Facebook is awesome to meet people and get to know people, but when you get to see them face-to-face and you have those conversations and you actually can hug somebody, it brings it so much to life for me. And as well as my posse, most of my posse was able to make it out in June, which was, again, most of us have been together 2 to 3 years running the group, and we've never all been together face-to-face, but we're very much like family because we're constantly talking to each other on Facebook all day long, every day. Yeah. So it was surreal because we'd never met each other face-to-face, but yet we felt like we were family and we knew each other forever. So the ride this year really, really brought all that together for me and really set in stone in my heart how HTCA is impacting people all across the country and all through Facebook, you know, all through a keyboard. So we just want to make sure that that keeps growing and gaining, and we continue to have that personal touch with HTCA. Not that it's just a place to just find a place to trail ride, but that you can come and actually meet people and gain relationships through that and be able to meet out on the trail and ride in places that you never thought of before.
Yeah.
So,
one of the things, Shannon, that is impressive to me about social media, and of course Facebook is a huge part of social media, I mean, there are other, you know, we Twitter and we Instagram and we do these other things, but a lot of people are on Facebook. But one of the things is that you really become a community and a family. And you didn't know we were going to go this direction, and I didn't either. Started talking, so now you're waiting to see where I'm going with this. But your faith is very important to you, and through Facebook and other social media, there really is a strong support system. You had some real challenges in the past year that you faced, and as do we all. I mean, you know, it's every day people are asking for prayers for someone. And you've also got another page that you started, and what is that? Bible Scriptures and Horsehair? Is that the?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, that came about because of HTCAA. I can't remember the timeline on that, but probably a year and a half into HTCAA, we had a gal come on one night. I think if I remember right, it was like a late Thursday or Friday night, and she said. On HTCA, she said, I'm asking for prayer. My husband was in a serious horse accident, and he is sitting in the hospital. They aren't sure if he's ever going to walk again. She said, my children are thousands of miles away. I'm in the ER alone, and I didn't know where else to turn except to my friends on HTCAA. And at first I had a thought because, and I always clarify, HTCA is not a religious organization. We don't have an agenda on there. That's just for trail riders of all backgrounds to be able to come to. But yes, as you mentioned, if you get to know Shannon Trofnagel, I'm very deeply rooted in my faith. So at first I thought, should I remove this? Because, you know, we're going to get complaints that this isn't, you know, it's not a prayer chain to come to. But within minutes, there was just hundreds of members that jumped on, and we had very few members at that time, saying wonderful prayers and encouragement. And I was overwhelmed sitting at my keyboard seeing how many members were stepping up for this lady. And I realized, like you said, there's a lot of people out there that are going through so many things. And a lot of people don't have, you know, the solid connections in the real world, unfortunately, as we all know. You know, there, a lot of people are lonely and they just need help. And through social media, you can do that. So I didn't want it to affect HTCAA and have people think that that was our agenda. So I created the other Bible Scriptures and Horsehair group. And most of our members have kind of congregated over there. And it's just become really neat. And for me, as you mentioned, the past year that I've gone through, definitely the hardest year of my life, having a job that took us, took us out west, thinking it was the job of our life and it was where we wanted to be. Long story short, that all fell through. And in the meantime, my mom gets diagnosed with stage 4 stomach cancer. And I'm still having to move out west and leave her in Wisconsin. And my husband's unhappy with his job. I had a cat die. We had our dog die. It was a true country song story. but the amazing thing going through that was the support of the people that I met through HTCAA. I had hundreds of people that I probably don't even know that stepped up and prayed for me on a daily basis and prayed for my mom and my family and knew what we were going through. And it was, again, humbling to know that there's so many people all across the country that know that there's more to life than just enjoying our horses and trying to satisfy our life with fleeting things, but that we all go through these kind of things. We all go through struggles, and together we can really form an amazing bond. And of course, you know, God was through it all and became much more real to me through all of that. And but HTCA was a big part of it because of the members that I met through that on that personal level.
Right.
And social media is impressive.
Yeah, and I think it's always, I don't think it's ever an inappropriate time or place to talk about our faith. And the support that we get from people that we don't know is, it's pretty important. And and actually, I think we developed some real friendships with people. I mean, Bobby Jean and I still haven't met yet. We do a show every week. You know, we're eventually we're gonna meet in Tennessee in June. You know, for sure.
There you go.
But you know, we all go through those things, and so the relationships that are developed become pretty strong bonds. And so I think it's great that. That you started that page, and people are able to go to that and to ask for prayers and to help support each other. And you know, there's several pages that are like, there's several pages that do the same thing that a lot of pages do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, you know, it's really good to be able not only to encourage one another, but to help support the other folks that are out there encouraging people as well. So anyway, I wanted to mention that people need to go and visit and like, and participate in Bible Scriptures and Horsehair, as well as Horse Trails and Camping Across America.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to shift our conversation again, and you do some pretty neat things. You have a 9/11 ride that you've done for a couple of years. Right mm-hmm. now we're just knocking on the door of Halloween, and I think you've got mm-hmm. something that actually started today, didn't you?
We're doing a fun, just a fun way to celebrate Halloween, and we're doing a Halloween costume contest back on Facebook. So don't have to do anything special, even if you're not out on the trail, but, you know, do something goofy, decorate your horse with whatever you got in your basement, and take some pictures, post it back on the HGCAA, and we are hoping that a lot of our members will do this across the country, and so we can just have some fun with everybody loves dressing their horse up. It's a fun thing to do. So hopefully, we'll get some good pictures to flood the group this weekend, and then we might just have some prizes to give away at the end of all of it. So.
Oh boy. So are you gonna pick some of the best costumes, or members going to vote on something? How are you going
to
do that?
Yeah, so probably just judge it by the most likes that the photos get. So I'll keep kind of gathering the photos through the weekend and make sure they're staying at the top of the page. And so that way people can click like, and we can hopefully, these things, my posse hates it when I do this kind of stuff because we got so many members. It's a little bit of work, but hopefully we can keep track of the photos that have the most likes, and we'll go from there.
Well, that'll be so much fun. So you guys, not only do you post things, but you get some really neat things going for people to get involved mm-hmm. in, like the Halloween costume the 9/11 ride that you encourage folks to get out on and support our servicemen and women. And where are you headed next? Where's your next trail riding adventure?
Well, because we're growing so much, we're definitely breaking it up into more rides next year. It's just too hard to have one central location. So we've got 3 new rides planned for next year. We're going to start off April or May. I'm starting to work on the dates on that one right now. It's going to be our Western HTCA ride. That's probably going to be in Utah. Not giving too much details out on that because I'm still working it out, but hopefully by within the next couple of weeks we'll be able to announce the details on that. But that way our Western members have a place to ride in the spring. And then in June, we are going to go back to Broken Arrow Campground in South Dakota. It was such a big hit last year. The campground was just phenomenal, and especially all the craziness I was going through. Up until the ride, you know, my mom had passed away just 3 weeks before that ride, so I was MIA.
Right.
And Jerry and Sue were phenomenal hosts and took the whole thing over. So I said, you know what, it'd be nice to just have one place every year that I can just set out the dates and I don't have to do anything about it. Just announce it to the members and we're done. And it's a nice central location for most members across the country to get to. So that's going to be our official gathering. And again, that's going to be more of our kind of family reunion type event throughout the year. And then we're going to host an Eastern HTCA ride, and that'll be held in Ohio. We're looking at probably doing that in October, hopefully get kind of hit it around when the fall colors are coming out.
Yeah.
And so we've got those 3 rides planned We'll be announcing all that within the next couple of weeks with the dates and all the official information. And then, of course, our 9/11 ride in September, which everybody can join in across the country. And I'm hoping to get a few more rides going like that, where it's not necessarily you have to travel in one place, but that we just get our members participating all together, no matter where they're at. So for now, that's what we got placed, but I'm sure there's more to come.
All right, that's cool. That's cool. And we just want to mention briefly, you are in the near future, your website's going to be ready to roll out.
Yes, 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 yes. And you know, God's timing is always perfect. I've been saying this for 2 years that we'd have this website, but but as we're actually getting close to the true official deadline of pulling the trigger, the website has just really evolved into something completely different than what I first envisioned 2 years ago. It's a much bigger undertaking, but it's going to be so well worth it in the end. So I'm looking forward to it, but yeah, definitely can't wait to be able to tell everybody when that's really going to be open and will actually be a true official national organization and a website that's really going to help trail riders across the country.
Cool, cool, cool. Now, where is Shannon going to ride next?
Good question. Not a clue, because my husband doesn't have any vacation right now. So the bummer about my poor husband taking on a new job, he's got 1 week's worth of vacation. So I do know for Jason and I together, it will be the ride in June in South Dakota. So we are definitely planning on being there for the whole week, which is cool because we got married in the Black Hills on June 19th, and the ride happens to fall over that. So we'll be back where we got married over our anniversary. So I'm looking forward to June.
Well, cool, 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 cool. Well, the first week of June, come out to Tennessee and join us for our rendezvous. So we're going to have a big time.
Oh, if I can. If I can, I would love
to. You'll have a ball. But anyway, always, always a pleasure. It's been too long since we've had you on the show. And we did a Halloween show, gosh, I think it was 2 years ago, where you had several of the folks that were with HTCA on and told some scary stories. That was a hoot.
Yes, that was.
I may have to recycle that one again. All of the shows are archived, so we can do that, but it's a lot of fun. And we'll look forward to the Halloween pictures that will be posted pretty soon on the Facebook page. And always, always good to talk to you. And hey, I don't want to skip your posse. Tell us who make up the posse and what they do.
Oh gosh, we have about 11 people that help me out, and the posse's been—I can't not say and mention this. God was just awesome how He brought us all together and how we all get along. we all have the same intentions of how HTC needs to be run. So you know. It's just a huge peace of mind for me, again, especially with this last year where I went through, knowing that the posse can take care of the page when I'm not around. And, we've got posse members from Utah, Idaho, Tennessee, Texas, a couple of us here in Wisconsin. I know I'm forgetting somebody else here. There's another state in there, I believe. Kansas. And, we're just one big family that never gets to see each other face-to-face, but HTCAA, I can swear to this, would not be what it is today. It might not even be in existence without them helping. 24/7, they're on there going through, you know, every post, every member, and putting a lot of time into something that they really don't get anything out of except the relationships that we've all gained. So very, very awesome, and I am very blessed to have such an awesome posse to help me out.
All right. Well, that is so cool. That is so cool. Some really neat people. And again, the Facebook page is Horse Trails and Camping Across America. You can go over and like that. And also Bible, Scripture, and Horsehair. And and like that page as well. So, Shannon, good to have you with us. Look forward to talking with you again very soon.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. And don't go away. We're going to be right back with more on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
sun sinks down between the heaven and the ground on these wide open places that I love. When I take a minute to feel the world in me in it, I thank that heaven above. And I squint my eyes and the tears are surprised, and I stop and let myself feel small. 'Cause it's all here, my own wild frontier. Aren't we all pioneers after all? Are we all pioneers after all? Like I need cool water or a lover's caress. And I did not decide, I just know that the wild earth is in my soul. Those out there that need faith, not just air, and the wild western wind calls their name in a land that's free. This is where I choose to be. There's no better place than nowhere. There's no better place than nowhere. I need cool water or a lover's caress. And I did not decide, I just know that the wild earth is in my soul. And I stop and let myself feel small. 'Cause it's all here, my own wild frontier. Aren't we all pioneers after all? Yes, we're all pioneers after all. And I need cool water or a lover's caress. And I did not decide, I just know that the wild of the west, the wild of the west, is in my soul.
Well, that is the Wild of the West from Mary Kay's Ride a Wide Circle, and she was just on with us last week, wasn't she?
Yes, she was.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a really interesting email from Susie Blue that we had on October 15th, and her CD has gone through is in the first round of nominations for a Grammy.
How about that? That is just too cool, isn't it? Isn't that cool?
That's
yeah,
cool.
yeah. But anyway, great show today. I just love Adrian. I mean, she's just a neat young lady. And by the way, she bumped somebody because we're now Facebook friends. So
you got power.
My apologies to somebody there, but now we're friends.
that's funny.
That is funny. Look forward to having her on.
And, she moves fast.
yeah. But anyway, neat gal, and what a great way for you to end the Out West concert series with her performing in November. So that's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. And Shannon's always a joy to talk with, and just a neat bunch of folks that are on the Horse Trails and Camping page. And so be sure and go over and like that page as well. And, you know, I might as well just say this. We love to be liked, and it's okay with us if you like Equestrian Legacy Radio on Facebook. So come on and give us a big like and tell your friends about us as well. But so much fun. I mean, I've been surrounded with three beautiful women today, and I don't know how I could get any luckier unless we were all in the studio together. That would be fun.
Well, I don't know. Next week you have Stephanie Lane joining us. So, you know, another gorgeous gal will be with us.
Yeah. Stephanie's a sweet, sweetheart. And we also have Jennifer Cotillo, and I'm not pronouncing her name right, but Jennifer's going to be on. And we're going to be talking about some exercises and things to do to help you as a rider, to have better contact and relationship with your horse, and also as you get a little bit older, things that you can do so you can continue to ride and enjoy your horses. So that will be a fun show with Stephanie and Jennifer next Thursday at noon on the Campfire Cafe. And while we're talking about shows, I'll just go ahead and mention that we've got Joyce Woodson, a legend in the Western music world and one of the founders of the WMA, I think, that will be on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And while I'm mentioning that, we have to remind you that the time change is Saturday night, so be sure and fall back, set your clocks back an hour, beginning on Sunday night. So that's always a hard time change for me.
I find the spring one more difficult, but, you know, it's not, neither of them are easy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I lose an hour of sleep. I mean, I'm just not really crazy about that. And it's darker, you know. I don't enjoy that one. But eventually we'll get rid of this time change thing. We can stay on one schedule year-round. So now I'll have to try to recalculate all the time zones. And and Arizona doesn't change. So, you know,
they don't change.
Yeah, we're behind instead of 2 hours behind right now. So I'll have to make sure that I don't miss Belinda when we do her show. But anyway, fun stuff on Saddle Up America on Tuesday. We've got Jim McGarvey that's going to be joining us, and we're going to have some special guest from Montana that will be joining us. Mac and Connie Long will be special guest on that show. So that will be very, very interesting. And Connie is the first president of the Backcountry Horsemen of America's Montana organization, 1,100 members strong out there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
so they're great outfitters out there, and we're going to have a big time talking with them and what Backcountry Horsemen does to keep trails open for all trail riders all across the country. What am I missing? The Legacy Club.
Oh,
you know, we have new members that join the Legacy Club every day, and you get great discounts from our Legacy Club sponsors and our campgrounds and guest ranches, and membership is free. So you can enroll in the Legacy Club, doesn't cost you a thing, and you also are automatically enrolled in a drawing that we'll have at the end of the year for a great Hydro Horse portable watering system. And that's about an $800 or $1,000 unit, and we'll be giving that away at the end of the year to some lucky Legacy Club member. So you can go to our website at equestrianlegacy.net and enroll in the Legacy Club. So do that today. Now, what else am I missing, Bobby?
Any final thoughts?
What kind of final thoughts do you have to share with us today?
Well, you know, that song that Adrian did on Will James made me kind of think about Will James. And I just found a fun little quote from his book, Smokey the Cow Horse. There was so much life wrapped up in that pony's hide that it was mighty hard for him to settle down and behave. he sometimes had to bust out and do things that wasn't at all proper. And isn't that true?
That is true, and that is a great
Bust out.
Bust out. Bust out. Kind of like horse sluts say, get your Yahoo on, it doesn't make any difference what age.
Yes, just bust out.
Just bust out. But anyway, it's been a fun show. It's always a joy to have you joining us for the Campfire Cafe. And we look forward to seeing video and of the Out West Concert Series in November with Adrian Buckaroo Girl. And that's going to be a lot of fun as well. So until next week, we want to remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we'll close the show today with Colorado Trail by the Horse Crazy Cowgirl Band. As always, we thank you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Ride all the lonely night, ride through the day. Keep the herd moving on its way. Weep all ye little rains, wail winds, wail all along. Colorado Trail. Eyes like a morning star, cheeks like a rose. Laura was a pretty girl, God Almighty knows. Weep all ye little rain, wail winds, wail all along, along, along the Colorado is the sky. Wish I'd stayed in Abilene, nice and warm and dry. Weep all ye little rain, wail winds, wail all along, along, along the Colorado Trail. Stars are fading in the sky, the day's gonna break, sun will be